Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
'Cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Good morning. Thursdays on The Upswing are all about the future. The future of almost everything in Wisconsin. The future of business, the future of events, the future of work, the future of products that are made in our fine state. And specifically for today's show, we're going to talk the future of concerts. Ooh, the future of soda. The future of back to the office, job skills, and family events. You want to chime in with your texts and your thoughts as we talk to our esteemed guests coming up next. The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. What's the future of how families hang out together? Is it different here in the Midwest than the other parts of the country? You know, I kind of think it is. I mean, we have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old at home, and, you know, thankfully, maybe it's just our wonderful parenting, but they like to hang out with us still, but you know, we always want to find interesting, creative spots to hang out as a family. And are family events going more high tech, more low tech, or are we just going to be hanging out in living rooms together looking at our phones? I'm not sure. And, you know, the fact is, as kids get older, maybe they don't even want to hang out with their parents anymore. But I've always felt that communities have this responsibility to create family-friendly places and events that are welcoming and provide unique options for both kids and adults, but aren't too expensive. So I've had all these like family event questions swirling in my head. And often, as an entrepreneur, I think it's happened, you know, you put them on paper, you put them in your notes, you talk to a ton of people, and the world kind of just manifests itself when it's meant to. So last Thursday night, I get home, my wife says, there is a local Shark Tank event in Shorewood. The Shorewood Foundation is taking ideas to make the community better. We should go. She had a couple friends that were pitching an idea that's really cool that I can't talk about right now, but I'll talk about when it comes to fruition. So we went to an event. There's 40, 50 people there. The Shorewood Foundation puts it on. You know what Shark Tank is, right? ABC show. I think it's on MSNBC too. The sharks line up. You get in front of the audience and you're like, here's my idea. Please, please give me money. Let's make it happen. But on the local level, for the Shorewood Foundation, they've funded 8 ideas in the past that have really become a fabric of the community. They redid a whole room at the Historical Society. The Lake Bluff Ice Captains are this team of dads in the area that built an ice rink with funds that they got from Shark Tank. The Shorewood Feast closes down Oakland Avenue every summer. 100 people, chefs from all around the country come. And it raises money for the schools. And that event has been embraced by communities all across the state of Wisconsin. And it started because of the local Shark Tank in Shorewood. And then there's this great event called the Shorewood 12, which is a bicycle race. There's a lot of wonderful bicycle races in the state of Wisconsin. But that event came to fruition because someone had the idea to get up in front of 4 board members and say, hey, this needs to happen. Can you help me make it so? And it did. So my thought, I waited till the end. That's one of my strategies at these events. I make sure, like, all right, oh, sure, I'll get up there and tell you my idea. So my thought was, there aren't enough safe places for kids to hang out at, especially teenagers. And in Shorewood, I don't know what your community's like. When the local Culver's closes at 9 or 10 o'clock, there's nowhere for kids to go. But there's a bunch of businesses that close at 7 o'clock that need some incentive to stay open. So my idea was simply, let's raise some money once a month. Let's go to the managers at some of the local cafes, ask what their budget is, give them the funds to cover their HR costs, activate it with some music, maybe some spoken word, a couple other things, and boom, we have a safe, wonderful place for kids to hang out in. Also, we're activating business using civic and charitable funds. So everyone loved it. I got a ton of questions. I've had 3 meetings with the store manager at 2 cafes, and we're going to make it happen. Now, there's a lot of things, a lot of steps that have to come in between there, but my encouragement to you is steal this idea. Leverage your local foundations, incent your local businesses to stay open longer, and provide safe havens for kids and families to hang out together. Free ideas that move communities forward. That's what we're here for on The Upswing. And you know what? We're also here to talk about the future of everything Wisconsin. And there's no better two people to do this than Chief Milwaukee Officer of Experience Milwaukee, Steve Glenn, and Martin Moore, content creator, podcaster, and filmmaker for film. I'm sorry, for Cost Headphones. He's wearing his Cost Headphones. I'm looking at him, and he's filming at the same time. So we'll be right back after this. The future of concerts, because there's some economic impact news from Summerfest that's out this morning. We'll discuss that and much more next. We're back. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Fast forward, Wisconsin, the future of almost everything in our fine state, with two experts that know the trends, the technology, and our talent base here in Wisconsin better than anyone, Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Steve, how are you today?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm excited. Boys. I'm caffeinated.
All right.
I'm ready to go.
That is the only
I'm glad
way
I have my my voice back. I lost it during the Clippers game on Tuesday. And boy, I sounded like I smoked a pack of like three cigarettes.
We're glad.
But it's coming back. It's coming back. I was a little worried for the show today.
We're glad you're back at full impact.
Yeah.
So concerts seem to be that one part of the economy that just never fail us, right? Demand, right, especially for the big acts, is just always going up, up, up. Actually, Summerfest just this morning after a board meeting announced its economic impact numbers. $160.3 million to the city of Milwaukee that they generated, and $188.7 million in economic impact to the entire state.
Wow.
Love
it. So it's, you know, it's never ending in terms of what concerts are bringing.
Sure.
But I priced a show that's at Fischer Forum in 2 weeks. Zach mm-hmm. Bryan's coming. A couple friends asked for tickets. It's I think it's March 20th. And $275 was the lowest upper deck ticket I could find. Obviously, a big act.
Yeah. Sure.
So what are your thoughts just on the continued demand of shows and the escalating prices?
So I think you've got, on one end, big bands like that who can demand high prices. They are well-merched, and they make a lot of money on these shows. What I like to look at around the future of concerts, future of concert venues, what are the up-and-comers doing? Because they are at the more challenging points on how they continue to monetize and continue to find new revenue streams. They are the ones who are innovating how we experience shows and their music.
Yeah, I mean, you have that kind of the physical and digital integration. You have the sponsorship right. integration. You even have some gaming integration, right? I mean, with Axe doing shows on Fortnite and another platform.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you see that coming to a local level, whether it's Summerfest or some of the,
totally.
The smaller venues?
Totally. I remember when Marshmello did the first concert inside Fortnite, and, like, it sounds dumb. Like, I'm a 43-year-old man, but, like, whatever, I play video games. But it was so cool because there was all these people, thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this virtual world, and he was doing this concert, and I was like, man, it's like, you remember when you got, like, you touched the first iPhone and you got in your first Tesla and you're like, I could see this, like, becoming the future. I think VR, Apple Vision Pro, things like that, giving people access to a concert yep. that maybe they want to see what the inside of Pfizer Forum's like, or they want to be in some giant, you know, Wembley to see a show, but they don't live there. You know, for whatever, $25, $50, you can throw on your little VR goggles and experience it in 3D. And I don't think that's going to take over a physical concert, obviously, but right. I think there's a huge opportunity, and we're seeing companies make money and continuing to do that and play in that space. So I definitely think that's the future, a part of the future of concerts.
Agreed.
Yeah. Do you think venues locally have the ability to kind of integrate those logistics?
To like, do like a VR show?
Yeah.
No. I mean, you're not going to see, Miramar's not going to be putting on VR right. shows or whatever in Fortnite. But to build off of what Steve said, I do think a lot of the up-and-coming bands and new acts are going to be the true innovators of, you know, how concerts are going to play out in the next 10, 20, 30 years. Yeah. But Milwaukee's very fortunate that we have a lot of small local venues. I mean, the Rave's not small, but yeah. we got a lot of places that aren't, in air quotes, you know, Pfizer Forum or Summerfest right. that you can catch a show. And
Yeah, I mean, that's vital. That's the great thing about our market is that there's so many ways to touch into to the concert world. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel just last week announced it's going to build a new outdoor concert stage with up to 2,800 seats and consider it kind of a test run for a permanent venue down the road. So there's the appetite is there.
Sure.
I mean, do we think, is the market becoming oversaturated with it with venues, or is it like, for me, I enjoy it.
I'll tell you when it was oversaturated.
I like the selection.
When I was in a band back playing at Sydney High and like all the places, it was oversaturated a long time ago back in like the 90s. If we could get back to that, I'd be totally fine with that.
Oversaturated music-wise, band-wise?
No, or just venues. There were so many venues that you could play at just in the city. So no, I don't think it's oversaturated.
I think the music scene here is so robust and it's hot. It's as hot as it's ever been locally. That's going to force more of these, more places that rely on people to come into their place to integrate music and a venue in some way.
Yeah. I'm a rising tides lifts all boats guy. So more venues, the more better.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's got to fight and claw for their piece. But at the same time, from a customer standpoint, I love that I can plug in at the Pabst and at a larger venue and just kind of have my pick and of the tours that are coming through.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, and I think, Jeff, you know, you said something in the first segment around steal this idea, right? So how are we sharing back to the listeners on what to do, who to follow, where to check some of this out? Like, follow Newski. Newski is a local Milwaukee-based musician who is constantly innovating on every platform on how you get into his music. In fact, today he announced a limited release of music on CD.
Ooh, nice.
CD. Now, we're talking about innovation and VR and all this, but I think some of these up-and-comers are looking to how do they take their community and monetize that community in a personalized way.
Very much so. Well, one thing definitely powering revenue at concerts today are beverage sales. And since we have the CEO of Sprecher Brewing on the upswing tomorrow, next up, we're going to talk about the future of soda.
What?
Coming up after the break, this is The Upswing, and I'm Jeff Sherman. We're back. This is The Upswing, the future of almost everything in the state of Wisconsin with Martin Moore and Steve Glenn. But first, the Sherman family just sold a condo in downtown Milwaukee, so we kind of took a little bit of the debt off of the personal balance statement, which I really like to see. But you've seen the headlines about debt. Everyone's got it. We got a little bit of it. The government, as debt grows, what does it mean for our individual bottom lines? You can join Wisconsin's Afternoon News host, John Mercure, and Annex Wealth Management's president and CEO, Dave Spano, as they answer the hard-hitting questions about debt and provide insight to help ease your concerns in a free webinar next Tuesday. That's March 12th. It begins at 10 a.m. It's really easy to register. Just text WEB to the WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620. And you can sign up today. Again, the event is March 12th, next Tuesday at 10 a.m. So tomorrow on the show, I have the CEO of Sprecher Brewery, and he is going to talk about the future of soda. Best root beer in the world, made right here in Greater Milwaukee in Glendale.
Heck,
they're growing big time. Like, it's going to be amazing to hear the story because they are acquiring soda brand after soda brand and going with innovative flavors and energy drinks. And it's really cool to see a local company just kind of dive into that beverage space.
Have you ever done their tour, the Sprecher tour?
Yes.
It's pretty cool. I always see people on Reddit, they'll ask, what's their, I don't drink. We're a huge drinking city. What are some things I can do that don't involve drinking? And, you know, because everyone's always like, you got to do the Miller tour and all this stuff. And I'm like, do a Sprecher tour. Like, okay, yeah, like they make beer and stuff. But also you can try a lot of really cool sodas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool tour. It's a really unique campus. It's a beautiful campus. The staff's amazing. And, like, cannot recommend doing that tour enough, whether you live in the city or if you're just a tourist. It's super cool.
Yeah, very much.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talks.
That's right. No, put it on the list. Make it happen. So what's your connection to soda, guys? Are you, personally, I'm not a big soda drinker, although at lunch yesterday I did have a Sprecher root beer. So, but is it just something you stay away from? Do you monitor the sugar intake? Like,
I don't drink soda. I don't even know what Coca-Cola tastes like without like Jack or Maker's in it.
Okay.
I think I'm on the fringe kind of fan, and when you posed this topic at first, I was like, what? Yeah. And then I started thinking about it, and like, we often talk about how we get young people into more established brands, right? How do we get older people back to soda if they're not in it? And I think some of these things you mentioned early on, like different flavors, maybe it's infusion of different ingredients, CBD or Delta 9 or whatever,
yeah.
That get me thinking about how do we get maybe people who backed away from sugar back into some of these soft drinks.
Embracing the health and wellness trend, I think, you know, obviously you look at some of the, you know, there's 58 grams of sugar in a soda, you may think twice about it.
There's a bunch.
It could be a luxury. But, you know, Super Bowl, Poppy had a big spot. It was called The Future of Soda Now. And they mentioned a bunch of innovations across the world. Mm-hmm. And then they said, you know what? Here's what's coming. Clean ingredients, a beverage with only 5 grams of sugar and 25 calories per can. So is that
the future of what's
happening in the space?
We're also seeing, like, I can't remember if it was Mountain Dew's dabbling in hard seltzers, and they're trying to get into the alcohol space. I believe you can, Jack Daniels partnered with Coca-Cola, and you can get like an actual like Jack and Coke that's like double branded.
In a can.
So I definitely think branching out from just it being soda and partnering with alcohol companies and making it an energy drink and trying to expand their reach to just, you know, people who need their diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
At 11 a.m.
Right.
Every day.
And how you bring different things from other brands together. You see, like, Sour Patch Kids are big with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Powerade just announced today that it's coming out with all new sour flavors. So
that'll rot your teeth.
Like, hey, let's go right into the kids' wheelhouse and sell them more sour flavors.
did any of you come across, like, taxes on sugar, the thought around taxing, you know, soda because it's got so much sugar and it's not good for
Interesting.
You.
Interesting. I'm a big fan of, like, I'm a big freedom guy and giving people the choice to, like, do what they want. Remember back, this is a few years ago, New York City was going to ban, like, the giant 64-ounce sodas or whatever that is. I'm a big fan of people being able to do what they want, but at the same time, human beings are the smartest, dumbest animals on planet Earth.
Some guidance.
And if you put something in front of them that's not good for them, they'll almost always take advantage of it. And so the tax thing, it's interesting.
Yeah, you got to put guardrails around it, you know, and you got to create incentives as well.
Yeah.
But you got to create disincentives
well
often. So when we come up next after the break, the future of the office. A couple of the big banks are calling people back downtown. And I want to explore that, how you work. And then we're going to talk about job skills as well. We're back. Welcome to the Upswing. Steve Glynn, Chief Milwaukee Officer at Experience Milwaukee, Text MKE, El Verno College, and Martin Moore from Cost Headphones, and a whole lot more.
I like that much better. You can just, from now on, you can just say Martin from Cost.
You know, I got to set the table. I always like to set the table, especially with two great guests. So the future of the office and the future of work continues to change each and every week, truly.
Yes.
This week we saw U.S. Bank kind of called its people, quote, back to the office. The Milwaukee Business Journal saying this week the U.S. Bank said that office employees working remotely for U.S. Bank and Metro Milwaukee must return to their offices at least 3 days per week by March 31st under a new directive impacting multiple markets where the Minneapolis-based bank company runs its corporate offices. What are your thoughts on just the general return to office? And Martin, your day-to-day at Cost, what's the policy?
I mean, it depends on each employee, but for me, I usually work from home twice or three times a week, unless I have to go in and there's a meeting or I need to do some product photography or shoot a commercial or ship something. But it's been nice. I'm way more productive at home. I basically eat my lunch and then I'm back. I take a 10-minute lunch break. I start an hour earlier. But they've been pretty flexible. My wife, she is permanently work from home ever since COVID.
Okay.
And she works in innovation healthcare.
Okay.
And so I think it's different for every business, but I think there's a huge financial opportunity for businesses to not have to be paying a lease and be paying for toilet paper and water and heat and electricity and internet in a physical space, and to not be handcuffed to the talent pool of a 20-mile radius. You know, you can hire the best people from anywhere if their job title allows them to work remotely. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I've always thought it's not exactly an or.
No.
It's an and, right?
There's definitely nuance to it with each business.
Yeah. Steve, how about you, your day-to-day workflow?
So I purposely drive into downtown to work, and I could easily work from home every day. I prefer to be around other creative people. Mm. I prefer to bounce ideas around. The energy of the spaces I work in are just too valuable for me to stay home alone in my office / bar and work. but I do have a bias on this because I personally love that if companies in downtown Milwaukee are going to ask their employees to return, because that brings a lot of money to the bars and restaurants and artists and musicians in the city who have created the fabric for how you experience Milwaukee.
Yeah. Next Monday on the show, we're going over the strategic plan from Milwaukee downtown with Matt Dorner and Beth Wierick. And one of those points is specifically that, you know, the downtown work population is 80, 90,000. And those connections and collisions are a big point mm-hmm. of recruitment and retention right. to any city. Mm-hmm. So it's truly important.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing for me on this topic, future of office, coffee shops are full. And many of the people in those coffee shops who are working there for the day are buying a plain coffee for $3 and getting free refills all day. So how are these coffee shops, which have become co-working locations, how are they going to monetize this audience, this community? And is that going to push people back to an office?
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I've had a lot of 1 hour, hour and a half coffee meetings where I bought a $3 coffee and took up a seat.
Or nothing, and you just sit there for an hour. Right. I've done that.
Yeah. Well, and then companies can, you know, I heard the new Fiserv location has a coffee bar right within it, and uh-huh. maybe it's a little less price, so you can get your coffee there and work at the bar and be in a collaborative team environment.
Right.
That works
right.
too.
Yeah, I think companies are looking at all creative ways to make or give employees those things they do get outside of the office within the office space. For better or for worse, it's just how it's always been.
Yeah, and a lot of it is anchored to, you know, what are the future of job skills? There are certain skills and certain mentalities that you can only get by being in the office. And then there's other ones that you get when you're totally independent. So I want to talk about that next up. It was a great story in Fast Company recently about the future of job skills and how they impact all of us. This is The Upswing. It's the future of everything in Wisconsin with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The future of almost everything in Wisconsin. Job skills, from adaptability to critical thinking to teamwork and collaboration. Success at work, we know this, it involves skills that you might not think necessarily to put on your resume. You have the hard skills, you have the soft skills. Martin Moore, you had a great post on X this morning that just warmed my Milwaukee and Wisconsin heart. You said, "Nothing makes me happier than watching my friends thrive and succeed."
Oh, I forgot I posted that.
Yes. Well, that's a skill. That is something that you've learned along the way and helps you as a more collaborative leader, right?
Totally. I do like watching my friends thrive. This is an interesting conversation because I dropped out of college. I went to college for one and a half semesters.
Okay.
And then I got roped into working on cars for 20 years. And then now I obviously have my job at Koss and my career as a YouTuber and my podcast, all the stuff that I do. But all the skills that I learned to be able to get to where I am today were all just learned from YouTube and trial and error and failure and success
Doing
and failure,
things.
Failure, failure.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting world we live in because more and more and more people are making a living, a good living, with skills for careers that didn't exist 10, 15 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What was that jumping off point for you when you're still in the auto business and you said, "I'm just ready for a change"? Like, what?
Oh, I wasn't ready.
You needed it?
I was crying every day. I was severely depressed. I was going to manifest a new career for myself one way or another. Like, I remember looking myself in the mirror and going, "All right, you're like 37 years old. It's now or never. Like, you need to do something to get out of this." And so I just hustled and made videos every single day, morning, noon, and night, and did speaking engagements and podcasts and all that. And you just learn, like this radio, I've talked about it on this show before, the skill set that you get from being on the radio and learning to talk on the fly, think on the fly,
right.
And say things that people actually care about and things that people believe that you say. That's a skill set right there that you can't learn in a college, and you can't watch a YouTube right. video. And so stuff like that is really what I'm passionate about.
You look at the aspects of teamwork and collaboration. I mean, one of the things I really appreciate about both of you as people is that you have this ability to leverage connections in your life to create success.
Right.
And I think that right now is a skill that you need in any workplace today.
I agree. It's hard to monetize, though, when you go and look for a job if you've had 10 years of like building infrastructure for things to happen in a city. My big thing on this future of job skills, there's a disconnect between what companies ask for and what they really want. And that hurts me because we have so many impactful organizations and corporations in this community, and they are asking for the person they think they want, but they make the decision on what they think will be the safe bet for them in their chair. And that is holding us back as a community.
Well, how do we get to more kind of adaptability and critical thinking and the ability to leverage connections? Like, whose job is that?
That's a great question. Holy cow. I didn't see that one coming, Martin. I think it's in some way, certainly the business leadership, right? It certainly can come from some of the policymakers.
100%.
It's also, you know, sort of the people like us in this room who are out and about trying to make the city better. To help shape the thinking, to help shape the direction of where we're going.
That's a great point. I think people like us, inspiring leaders to think outside of the box. I'm not going to name the company, but I had met at a networking event a CEO of a pretty big company and was talking about my story and how I got my job and what I do without any college degree. And at the time, this business, it was basically, you don't have a bachelor's in, it doesn't matter. You could have a bachelor's in puppeteering. Right. As long as you got a bachelor's, cool, you're hired. Yeah. If you don't have a bachelor's,
bye-bye.
Bye. Sorry. And I was like, I'm telling you right now, for like whatever you're hiring, if it's a skill set that I have, I can guarantee you I'm going to do it better than anyone that has a college degree. And you're missing opportunities in great, great, great talent by handcuffing yourself to that sort of stuff. And so, to answer the question, I think inspiring leaders to think outside the box and try and find talent in other places that they might not traditionally find them is something that we can do. That's a very accessible thing that we can do.
Very good. That's what we want the Upswing to be all about. Conversations with people that care.
Yes.
And do. That's exactly it. We'll come back. We'll finish up our conversation around job skills. Talk a little bit about the future of family events and a little bit more. This is the Upswing. We'll be right back. We're back. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined today once again with Martin Moore and Steve Glenn. A fun, lively conversation. The future goes fast, doesn't it, guys?
It does.
First, I want to give away a gift card to the Mineshaft restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family, as I've said often, we live in Shorewood. Getting to the Mineshaft in Hartford isn't too bad of a drive. It's 30, 40 minutes. We need to get away with the kids. Get them away from that Xbox, and we get into the huge $2 million game room like the one at the Mineshaft. Great pizza, too. Mom and Dad can hang out at the bar, just hang out at the table while we know the kids are safe and having a whole lot of fun playing games. Caller number, what number?
11.
11.
I was going to say that, too.
855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, I never know what day it is. It's today.
It's Thursday, yeah.
Thursday's feature, buy one, get one free pizza at the Mineshaft. So I want to continue our conversation on the future of job skills.
Yeah.
What are those most basic skills that anyone can use to accomplish kind of the most mundane of tasks?
Yeah.
But then how do you get to the softer ones? We talked about this before the break. Like, how do you work on teamwork and collaboration?
Perseverance. The go get it. Yeah, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think so Martin, you mentioned some very interesting things in the last segment, and part of this is all the things you learned, right? So you got to have some base skill sets, right? Like the hard skills. These soft skills are, you've got to be out there doing things in the community or in around other people to really get that. And, you know, even this radio stuff you mentioned, Martin, you've got to be trying different things to get some of those softer skills developed.
Yeah. And you have to have people in your life, I believe, that are willing to push you through the curtain.
Yes.
And almost really push you through the curtain, because you have to have ways to have those opportunities, especially young, when you're young in your career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, there's always been three fundamental skills that have sort of guided me to where I am today. One is communication. That's something I learned early on being a magician and being in bands and, you know, just everything that I've done. And then, you know, networking is another huge one. And, you know, Steve had talked about that too. Just getting out there and meeting people is absolutely vital. I mean, that's how you're going to be inspired by other people. That's how you're going to inspire other people. That's how you're going to get interested in things that you might not know that you were interested in. Then the third one is support. Not only supporting others, but being able to like get support from other people and taking criticism and feedback, whether it's positive or negative, and using that to sort of grow your own personal skill sets, whatever that looks like.
One of my first bosses, anytime he would bring me to a luncheon or a networking event, my job was, if he didn't know the person, I was the wingman. I had to make the introduction. And if I didn't, I would hear about it when I got back to the office. And it has stuck with me for 25 years.
Right. And, Martin, those three pieces are so critical. And I think every company, ones we've mentioned or not mentioned, are looking for those elements. How do they get? Because of the people that are developing. Here's the disconnect about future of skills. And we were talking about this on the break. The people who are developing those skills you mentioned on their own through perseverance are not on the radars of these companies for talent recruitment. And there is a talent cliff coming, not just, you know, around the country. In this state, there is a talent cliff coming where we will need more people than we have. And it's going to be hard to then start recruiting.
Totally. And, you know, we were talking about this on the break too, with the gig economy, and you can make more money. So many people, Gen Z, are not thinking about corporate America.
Nope.
They're in high school and they're already making 100, 200 grand a year playing Fortnite and streaming on Twitch. They have their own YouTube channels. There's people who are Uber drivers, you know, making 90, 100 grand a year. Why would you ever even think about working for corporate America or working at McDonald's or doing any kind of job when there's so many new jobs that didn't exist a decade ago that are so accessible to people? So like you said, with that talent cliff, not only are these people not on corporate America's radar, corporate America is not on their radar either.
Not one bit.
And so you have this giant talent fist bump that is going to be a big, big, big problem.
We're going to keep all this and more on our radar.
Yes.
Next Thursday, we're going to come right back at it with the future of everything with Martin Moore and Steve Glenn. This is The Upswing. Thanks for joining us.